Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is the 23rd of May. I want to thank all of you that came to EMS this past weekend, if you're on the call. It's great to have you. Today, we only have one question, so let's get to that. Well, we have officially passed the one-year mark, and it feels great to have this year behind us. You know, I didn't believe I'd be able to feel as hopeful as I do today and truly believe your program saved our marriage. Thank you very much, whoever wrote this. Any helpful hints after we are done with EMS aftercare program in July? Our marriage is stronger than ever, and for that I am thankful. We're communicating better, and the triggers are less and less. Should we continue checking in with the counselor monthly, etc.? The main thing we've been doing is growing in our relationship with God, and that's helped us the most. But anything else before we cut off from this resource? I don't mean to sound self-serving here, but one of the things that I would suggest to any couple, any individual, is not to assume monogamy. And to me, the best way of doing that is to continue giving back to other people so that you always remember the lessons that you've already learned, to continue to reinforce them, and you allow, ultimately, I thank God, to use the things that you've learned through this program, whether it be through the Affair Recovery mentorship program. There's lots of ways we could hook you up with a lot of people, I'm sure, who would love to hear your story, and that you could just encourage as you tell them about your own recovery. Erickson talks about the concept of generativity as we begin to grow older, and I think that is a critical piece of recovery. It's the 12th step that is in the 12-step group. It's the ability to go out and share with others the good news of what's happened. It's that continual concern for others that are in the same situation, or just concern for other people, that keeps us from becoming self-centered and narcissistic and keeps us on a path of loving other people rather than going more myopic. In fact, in Erickson's work, he says after age 55, if someone hasn't become generative, eventually they'll just begin to be more and more self-centered. They'll begin to digress to the point of just kind of becoming bitter. And I think all of us have been in nursing homes and met people who they're just miserable in their life. And honestly, that's so incredibly sad. And ultimately, what we would like is for you to be able to continue giving and learning and growing. And I do know for Stephanie and I mean, I can attest to this, giving to other people has been something that's given us, I think, an appreciation working with these other people for where we're at. And it's also given us a continued hunger to grow and to learn so that we can help others. So, you know, whether you join our ranks here of mentors at the Affair Recovery Center or Affair Recovery, or whether you do something with your church, that would be my number one suggestion. Begin to give back to other people. That is the best relapse prevention tool ultimately you can use. If you decide that you'd like to be a mentor and work with us that way, because to qualify to be a mentor for Affair Recovery, you have to have completed the program. You have to be 1 year out in recovery at least and go through some training. But we want people to be equipped to be able to do that. And our goal is to work with 50,000 couples a year. So we would love to have you join the ranks in trying to reach those 50,000 couples, because we know that they're out there. So I hope that would be, I guess, the main thing. The other thing that I would recommend is I would continue maybe quarterly monthly. Monthly isn't bad for a while, but relapse prevention becomes the number one thing And so listening to or going to a therapist and just examining your marriage, I think, is really an important piece. I have couples that still come in quarterly, some that just come in now annually just for a checkup to look at the marriage, to see how they're doing. I think that's an important piece. One of the things that Stephanie and I do is kind of aftercare for us now, since we're way out there, is we always go annually to some sort of marriage renewal conference. That has been a really helpful thing for the two of us. I mean, we've become incredibly intentional about working on the marriage. If you remember from week 3 of your course, and we talked about the second law of thermodynamics, if you're not putting into the marriage, then eventually the marriage will begin to atrophy. So simply doing those seminars can be really important. Another thing we've done in the car that's been really helpful for us is we read out loud to each other whenever we travel with each other. We take a book. Stephanie reads. She doesn't get motion sick, thankfully. Whichever one doesn't get motion sick, hopefully one of them can do that, or you can do books on tape. But what we found is doing stuff together like that provides I think a continued point of conversation along with the couples that we work with. I mean, I think that's still going to be the most helpful. Another thing that I think the two of you can do is make sure you maintain good rituals in your marriage. Always, always, always. Greet each other at the end of the day. Kiss for 7 seconds when your husband gets home. Always share a feeling, or make sure each day before you leave, you know what your mate's going to be doing for the day, just because you begin to express interest. I guess you can do things like sharing high and low at supper, so you just make sure you're still talking with each other. Sharing your lives with other couples, being in small groups where you're having to share with others, again, that is going to be huge. It's those connections in the long run that will keep you together, because life will send plenty of things, and the tyranny of the urgent will be there to rip the two of you apart. But just learning to be appreciative of each other and making sure you never lose that again is important. But finally, and most important to me, I said the mentorship thing, or the giving to others, whether it's through us or others, I think is important. But I heard a statistic once that I liked, which is couples that pray together stay together. And I don't know if this is accurate, but I heard that with the divorce rate's about 1 in 2, in reality, couples that pray together, divorce rate's about 1 in 1,000. And I would say that's pretty statistically significant. So if you want to maintain your relationship, then I would make sure that you continue to pray together on a daily basis, not just at dinner time, but seriously stop and pray with each other. And if there are any areas, there are problems, do the truth in love with each other. Never stop that ritual. Always be listing out, you know, the appreciations, the amends, and the wounds. So that, let me make sure that no other questions have come in for today. Looks like that's it. So I want to thank you all for joining the call, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless.